This episode of Legion of News is made possible by our friends at Squires Electric, a brand new business partner. Squires Electric is a full-service electrical contractor for all of your residential and commercial needs. You can contact them at 503-252-1609, or for more information, go to squireselectric.com.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
Above the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now, as we speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
A student is injured by a falling basketball backboard. A kidnapped prostitute stabs a man, and East Portland's water smells funny.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and entranced, and demonstrably more intelligent, if slightly disgusted, at the end of this hour. And now, without further ado, prepare yourselves now, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Don Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Thursday, December 16th, 2010.
Doesn't even seem possible.
And yet it is.
Seems like you're promising more than we could ever deliver.
Well, wait and see. Just wait and see.
I don't see how people are not going to be disappointed at the end of this hour unless we deliver all of these things that we are guaranteeing. And I just don't see how it's gonna work. You're saying it's gonna happen, though.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I say that this will be, and it will be so.
Well, now we're pot committed. Let's go.
People who live in East Portland are reporting a strange odor in their drinking water. At least they were Tuesday evening.
It's just your neighbors.
The smell was described as petroleum and mothballs, officials said. The area of complaints was bounded roughly by Northeast 117th to 127th Avenues and Holiday to Gleason Streets.
Well, we've got to test those new government vaccines somewhere, Don. First of all, ninth of all, I don't know what people mean when they say that something smells like petroleum products and mothballs. A, petroleum products could mean any one of it. That could mean a plastic Christmas tree, or it could mean gasoline in your car. Also, it's 2010. You don't know what mothballs smell like. That's a thing that people say, yeah, we're going to mothball that whole thing. No one uses mothballs. Hmm. Mothballs are a thing that's a product that's gone by the wayside.
That is true.
It's like if you're going to be putting spats on your shoes, by which I mean you're not going to be putting spats on your shoes. Because, you know, you're not living in the flapper era.
What is that smell in the mothballs? What is the, I'm trying to think.
It's not chloroform, but it's a thing that sounds like chloroform.
No, and it's not sulfur. It's,
but it's, you know, it's a thing.
Damn it. I can't think of the word. Anyway, Water Bureau crews went to the area, and they also sensed the odor.
They sensed the odor. They didn't actually smell it.
No,
I guess technically speaking, it's a sense of smell, but come on.
They used their sense of smell.
You sense the presence of your dead grandmother. You don't sense a smell.
Water lines were flushed until the odor was gone. Samples were collected for further analysis. Anyone who senses an odor in their water should call the Water Bureau at 503-825-7525, officials said. Oh, and don't drink it.
Uh-huh.
If your water smells weird, the Water Bureau says don't drink it.
If you sense something that smells in your water.
Right.
All right.
If you have a vague notion that something might smell bad.
Is this going to be like that story we had a couple years ago where there was a homeless guy who just fell into the reservoir and was just sort of half-lifing away into everybody's water supply?
Quite likely.
I mean, here's the thing. If you don't cover that up, stuff falls into it. That's just the...
But we don't want to cover it up because it looks pretty and people like to jog around it.
That's right. It'll look pretty when they're digging a big tumor out of your spleen in 10 years.
A young woman has died after getting hit by a car while she walked along Southwest Portland Road on Wednesday night. Well, police said the woman was struck just after 10:30 p.m. near the intersection of Barber Boulevard and Hamilton Street. The victim's name has not yet been released, but police say she was 26 years old. She was pronounced dead at the scene. The driver of the car that hit her stayed at the scene and cooperated with police. A passenger in the car was hospitalized for cuts caused by windows that were shattered in the collision. So there you go. The woman was just walking. They say that she was walking in the street. So does that mean she was...
On Barber Boulevard?
Yeah.
That seems like a place you don't want to walk, first of all. I mean,
there are sidewalks on Barber, though, aren't there?
We're talking about the same Barber Boulevard. I always confuse Barber Boulevard and Capitol Highway, or the same thing. Or do they intersect?
See, you're confusing.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's one of those things where it's like you think you know what you're visualizing and what you're talking about until I ask that question, and then you don't because you're doing the same thing I do, where you're conflating the two. Is it like, and is it in that whole like Burlingame area where there's that Fred Meyer?
Yeah, they don't know. All I really know about Barber is like driving in the general direction of my house and driving past like pot stores and strip clubs and KFCs.
Well, now what the hell am I thinking of? Maybe I'm thinking of Terwilliger Boulevard.
Maybe.
But then that leads, isn't that parallel to...
We should not be having this conversation because you and I know nothing about where anything is.
We sound like a bunch of old people in Florida sitting around trying to talk about how to get to the florists.
Is that where the farm used to be? They had the irises. Remember that man had a burrow.
Is that by the Zabriskie place? I haven't been there for ages.
There used to be this lovely little shop that sold the prettiest vases.
Do you remember that boy with one eye that worked at the fruit stand? It's right by where that was, but it's not there anymore. The big fire of '05 took care of that. Kill me. Hi, you're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Isn't it a glorious day to be alive?
Mm-hmm.
It's Thursday, December 16th, 2010. Thank you for drawing near. Coming up later on this hour, we have your entertainment news, also your science on the march. You can get this program later on the day via iTunes if you like. Also, as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. It's also available, speaking of science, on your mobile device. That is mobile.cascadia.fm. Mobile.cascadia.fm. Here is Don Taylor.
A middle school student in Marion County is in the hospital after a basketball backboard accidentally came loose and fell on her. By the way, did you garner that sound there from the...
No, I didn't know that was for this story.
Oh, that's it. So oh. I could put this aside and come
back
to it.
Would you like to just recreate the sound for us?
No.
Give us an artist rendering of the sound.
No.
Do it like a Punch and Judy show.
No.
Come on.
No.
What is the sound? Is it a clip from the girl in question, or is it what they call natural sound, which is like the sound of the basketball hitting her head?
It's people talking about stuff.
All right.
So
are they talking about the fruit stand with the one-eyed boy?
Right. I'll go to something else and then come back to
What's the setup for the story again? She was injured how?
A basketball backboard came loose and fell on her.
Oh, so it didn't shatter. It actually came off.
Right.
The whole thing kind of just...
The whole thing just fell off and landed on her.
And she's not dead?
She's in the hospital, I think.
I mean, that's the thing. Those things are heavy.
Yes.
Not, you don't want to screw around with those.
No.
All right, hold on. Just give me one moment here. Possibly more than one moment.
Okay. Well, Oregon school board officials say the incident happened Tuesday at Jervis Middle School in Jervis, Oregon. Are we there yet? No? Yes? Yes? No?
I'll give you the thumbs up.
A middle school student said she witnessed the accident that injured the girl, who she identified as Sophia.
And suddenly there was blood everywhere.
I'm just trying to, like, buy his time while also simulating
like
the soundbite. Well, no, I'm just saying, but, you know, I'm playing it at half speed.
You know, I could have gone to something else.
You know, you could have given me the sound more than 2 minutes before the show, too, but I don't want to nitpick, Dom, because then that's just going to lead to ugliness. All right. Is this backboard 1,
it
2,
is
and 3? All right, let me get these actually on the on the soundboard here.
Well, this first one is a student who said she witnessed the accident.
Okay, this is backboard 1.
All of a sudden, I heard this big, like, bang. And I looked back, and I saw the hoop falling down on the girl, like, and it bounced, like, back up, and then it hit her again.
I don't know why that's funny. It just is. It has something to do with the fact that, first of all, she seems to have no actual aspiration coming out of her lungs. It's like the words are just sort of leaking out of her.
Students at the school say the seventh grader was injured during recess in front of many seventh and eighth graders who were inside the gym.
I'm sure no way did they cackle at her plight.
They go to, like, to pull it off of her, and then she just collapses on the floor, and her face is bleeding, and there's blood, like, all over the floor and everything, and they're, like, telling us to get out.
I'm telling you right now, look, I know it's impolite to say these sorts of things, but that was the greatest day that school has had in a year from the students' perspective.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody gets squashed or maimed or spindled or folded or mutilated or something, or backboard falls on them. That really is that's a day that you tell your friends about years hence.
It breaks up the monotony, basically, of junior high school, which is pretty horrible, generally.
Because what else are you going to be doing otherwise? Just memorizing the periodic table?
Mm-hmm. The girl was taken to a Portland area hospital, her classmates say. They also say that it was bloody and, like, really sad.
We send our kids to school, and that could have easily been, like, who knows what's going to happen with her now. I feel really bad for her.
It was a really bad day. Everyone's crying, and we all went into this building, and
really
we all were crying, and it's really sad.
At the end, did she say suicide?
No, it is really sad.
Okay. The last thing there was...
It was, like, really sad.
Maybe I'm projecting a little big fun onto this. Is the first person in this cut a mother?
I thought so. I thought it was at first, but no, it's a student.
We send our kids to school, and that could have easily been, like, who knows what's going to happen.
How old are these children? It's out of the question that she has her own child,
Yeah,
I
they're, like, 12 and 13. I suppose she could have
children
her. This is Jervis, Oregon.
They are getting busy at an ever earlier age, Dawn.
So district authorities are trying to figure out what caused the backboard to come loose.
Hey, maybe the things that were holding it up broke or were of insufficient strength.
A school board meeting will be held, of course, at 7 p.m. tonight in the middle school cafeteria so that parents can come and be dutifully outraged and shake their fists and yell about things.
What you should do is just walk around while you're there making a bunch of fuss about your precious bundles of joy at the school meeting. You should walk around and then shove your hands deep into your pockets and scowl at people a lot. And then constantly just be quickly withdrawing items like a comb or a billfold from your pocket and then waving them around to people and then sticking them back in your pockets.
You should also say something about how you don't have to put up with this.
Exactly.
And that your tax money is paying their salaries.
Also that the time of purification is at hand. And then just stare for a while.
A man who threatened a prostitute at knife point was stabbed after the woman took his knife away, police say.
Well done.
The prostitute told Multnomah County deputies she was working on 82nd Avenue, of course, when she was approached by a man in a small green car. After she got in the car and removed her clothing, she asked the suspect to pay in exchange for the sex act, but he refused to pay. Police say Roger Salazar Castillo then took out a knife and threatened the woman, climbed into the back seat, and choked her into unconsciousness. When the woman awoke, Salazar Castillo was driving her to an unknown location, police say, and her hands were tied together with a nylon cord. According to police report, the woman was able to grab the knife and stab Salazar Castillo multiple times.
Excellent. Does it say where he was stabbed? Does it say this is sort of a sternum or in the junk? Or?
No, they do say she fled the scene and called the police. They do say that officers later found him bleeding profusely in his green Dodge Neon.
Well done. That's what you get for being a jackass. I'm intrigued by the fact that she climbed into his small green car and then removed her clothing.
Yeah.
Because I was to understand that from a street walking perspective that it was all about the oral gratification.
So too, but apparently she got into the back seat and took clothing off.
All right, so this is they were going to have the full on sex,
I guess,
which he then wasn't going to pay for. What kind of ingrate?
No.
I mean, you know, prostitutes, I believe, are allowed to, you know, they can choose their own customers. So it's not like she had to say yes, even if you had money. So I mean, she's really doing you a favor, sir. She's offering to engage in a trade of goods and services for cash.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fairly straightforward transaction.
Yeah, I mean, and also,
you know what your obligations are
when
the prostitute gets into your vehicle.
I mean, and if you have a problem with the price, you negotiate that beforehand. It's not like you just, you know, you can't just take matters into your own hands, later on when you decide that you're paying too much.
There may be other issues at work, though, because apparently, according to police, he was responsible for another incident earlier in the night where he became violent with another prostitute and began choking her until she lost consciousness.
I see.
So I think there was something a little bit more going on than just a negotiation of price.
So this is like his own matchbook collecting.
Yeah, okay. It's kind of a hobby, the chokiness.
You know, guys like this are never stabbed enough either. That's the thing. They're always stabbed just, it's like, never mind. It's like a thing. Don't worry about it. You are listening to Legion. You know, I was gonna uncork a whole series of observations about hookers and stabbing, but what's the point? Really, and if history is any guide, this guy will be in the news again like next week for a third, attempted poking of, with a knife, and then we'll get to talk about him then. You are listening to Legion of News. It is Thursday. Coming up later this hour, we have your Science on the March and entertainment news. Here is Don Taylor.
U.S. federal prosecutors are investigating whether WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange worked with Army intelligence analyst Bradley Manning to steal classified documents from the government, reports the New York Times. The discovery of such evidence would mean he could be tried as a conspirator in the leak. Justice Department officials are scrutinizing an online chat conversation in which Private Manning claimed he was chatting with Assange using an encrypted conferencing service, and that Assange had even offered a server so Manning could upload files directly to WikiLeaks. Manning was anything... I hate writing like this. Manning was anything but private, it seems.
He was anything but private. He was a reptile?
Well, he is a private, they're saying he was anything but private.
He was a lamppost.
He boasted to an ex-hacker friend that he was a high-profile source for WikiLeaks. The friend, Adrian Lamo, turned Manning in along with a series of IM conversations between the two that Lamo said detailed the collusion between Manning and WikiLeaks.
So why don't you like the phrase?
Well, see, the guy's he's a private in the Army. And so the writing was, Manning was anything but private.
Oh, I see.
Boasting to a friend about this.
It's humor.
They were going for humor.
So-called.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I wish they wouldn't do that in the news.
All right.
The news isn't funny, Rick.
We don't have humor intermixed with our news.
No.
That would just be wrong.
No.
All right.
Oprah Winfrey taped two 90-minute shows Tuesday in Australia. She told reporters there that she senses a healthier attitude among the people of Australia.
I sense that you all work to live, and too many of us in the States
are living to work. Oh, God.
Oprah. Winfrey addresses a huge crowd at the famous Sydney Opera House, which was dubbed the Oprah House during her visit.
I want to go home.
Love Australia!
Okay, no.
God. Okay, that happened. We okay now?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this will cheer you up. A college student walking in Boston on Wednesday made a gruesome discovery. He found two skulls in a box.
Okay. That does cheer me up, actually. And how great of you to know that, by the way.
Police said they're trying to determine if the remains are human. The skulls were found on top of a blanket inside a cardboard box. I couldn't believe it, student Paul Hamblin said. It was propped up against the wall. Hamblin said at first he thought the skulls were fake. To think of the two skulls there, where are the bodies, Hamblin said.
That's a fair point.
He is in college, so.
Does that mean that somebody was trying to get rid of them? Or is somebody trying to figure out exactly how to word his Craigslist ad so he can obtain his skulls that he left behind while he was having a picnic somewhere, but he's not quite sure exactly what language to use in the ad?
Unsure. The police say they aren't explaining yet whether they think it's a prank or a crime. Hamblin, the guy that found the skull, says he thinks it's kind of creepy. He says, I was pretty terrified thinking that not only does somebody have the skulls, but they're propped up in a box.
I think we can rule out prank. Since the skulls are real, it seems like that's a long way to go just for a bit of a gag that has a sort of indeterminate outcome as it is.
So police took away a dumpster that was also at the scene. So I guess they're going to scour through that to see if they find any other parts.
So there was just two skulls sitting... Let me ask you
two
this.
Two skulls in a box.
Let me ask you this: if you're just walking along and you find a box inside wrapped in a blanket, two skulls, you call the police or do you keep it?
Oh, I keep it.
See,
free skulls.
See,
come on.
I think I would call the police. Here's the thing: I don't want to be.
I would call the police and give them one of the skulls, and then I would keep one for myself.
I wouldn't do that. See, because then they know you've got one skull, and then it's just going to be a whole lot of awkward conversation between them and you trying to get you to shake the other one loose. Mm. I also don't want to end up in jail because I've inadvertently, kept
evidence.
Well, or it's somebody where they're going to find the rest of it at the bottom of the Hudson River or something, and then they're going to come to you, and it's like, Frankie the Knuckles is going to put the lien on you to take the whole weight. So what I would do is I would call the police anonymously, and I would just say, look, suppose a guy was walking along, and he found a couple of skulls, but then it turned out later that the skulls were not involved in any sort of a crime, they weren't related to any sort of foul play. Could this fellow be expected to keep at least one of the skulls? What do you say? And it'd be like in Sneakers, when Robert Redford is talking to James Earl Jones, and he's just saying, do you have the item? Can you guarantee my safety? I would demand to know that I could keep it. And then if they said no, Then I'd consider how to move forward. They said yes, then I'd turn over the skulls.
You would never get those skulls back. You know that. That would never happen.
Yeah, I know, but you know...
They disappear into a chest somewhere in that big warehouse that the
evidence control.
That they keep, the Ark of the Covenant, and you'd never seen it again.
You know what would happen, though, is it's like there would just be some busybot, some Gladys Kravitz in my neighborhood would just see the skulls in the back of my car, and then you would just see me
as
being...
As happens.
Yeah, I'd be on the news being let out with, like, a blazer over my head, you know, trying not to have my photograph taken, you know, so I'm just saying. That's the sort of thing that happens. You think you get to keep the skulls, but you never do. Something always goes wrong.
I would probably turn the skulls in, but it would take a while for me to get around to it.
Yeah.
I would sit around with them in my house probably for a day or two going, I know I should turn these in, but man, skulls.
Visiting a series of amusing photographs taken.
Yeah, that's true. I could pose them in things and do things with
them. It bothers me that we never heard the end of this Oprah cut, so I have to just play it all the way to the end.
God.
All right, let's all brace ourselves. Okay. It was going to bother me like an unscratched itch if we didn't do
was
that.
Was it worth it?
Yeah, no, not really. No. All right, here's Don Taylor.
Google may not be making us stupid, but thanks to a new feature, the search engine can now tell us which websites are. This week, Google unveiled a new advanced search feature that allows users to filter pages based on reading level, revealing which sites are basic, intermediate, or advanced. Naturally, the feature already has reporters tripping all over each other to crown an unlucky media outlet as the dumbest website.
Wait, let me guess. Is it... does it rhyme with ox-ooze?
No,
really?
Strangely enough, no. According to Business Insider, ABC News is the most basic website, i.e. the dumbest, with the Huffington Post, NPR, and USA Today coming in next.
Now, I'm
Business Insider. I wonder...
I'm confused about this, though. So you're saying that... Okay, Google is figuring this out based on people who are opting to have certain websites displayed. I don't understand anything here.
I think it's probably an algorithm that looks at the words on the site, the grammar and the usage, the language. And then it tells you if it's basic, intermediate, or advanced
reading.
Well,
but that doesn't tell you anything about the users.
No.
I mean, that's like saying that. It's like saying that if there's two books on a shelf, if there's Canterbury Tales and then there's Goofus and Gallant, and I pick up the copy of Goofus and Gallant just to see what it's like, then that is like saying that I have a third grade reading level or whatever the hell highlights is, which isn't the
case. Because the idea is they want to tell you they're basically news media news outlets are using this to tell you to position websites that have more basic reading levels, more fundamental, simple reading levels as being dumber than websites that are more complicated.
But they're not even saying that it's the websites. They're saying it's the actual users.
No, they're saying it's the websites.
This isn't the same story, because there was a story like this that was on... It was on Yahoo or something this morning, and they were, which is why I said Fox News, because they seized right on Fox News as having the dumbest users.
Well, that may be their
particular spin. Might be a separate story altogether,
separate.
It's not like it's out of the question. It could be both.
Apparently, Gawker is one of the smartest sites with a more advanced reading level, along with the New York Review of Books website being the most advanced, New York Times and the New Yorker sites as next runner-ups. Writer Adrian Chen for Gawker is the one who said he found that the site was slightly dumber than Fox News, but at least beat out TMZ.
And so this is Google just assessing the word usage on the sites themselves.
Basically, so that I guess to let you know if you're looking for a site, say you don't read all that great.
Yeah.
Let's say that. And you want a news site that features a very basic reading level.
Right.
Or maybe, I suppose, you're looking for something for your kids to do homework or something like that. And it will tell you whether the websites have basic, intermediate, or advanced reading levels.
So how do I do that on Google, though?
I have no idea.
I mean, that was actually one of my other questions. Is this something, is this like some button that I haven't been given access to?
It says it's an advanced search feature, so I suppose when you go to search and then you go to advanced search, it's one of the filters in there that you could use.
Does it really seem like the advanced section of Google is where you want to be putting something if you're catering to people who want a second grade reading level?
Yeah, I know.
Why don't you just hide it behind a calculus problem?
I'm not sure I really think that it's a particularly useful function, but
Well, I guess it's easier than learning to read.
Yeah.
You are listening to Legion of News. Thank you for joining us. It's Thursday, December 16th, 2010. Coming up, are you tearing up that story with extreme prejudice? No, you're just discarding part of it.
I'm tearing it off to put it in the pile of things I've already read, because there's another thing on that page.
There's the rest of it that you're haven't gotten to yet.
I save paper by printing multiple stories.
I thought you would just mark it off. The tearing is sort of interesting, that you don't just take like that. You don't just check it off or just draw a line through it or something.
Well, I do sometimes, but that's confusing because if I want to read this one later and it's over there in that pile.
But you wouldn't have to have that pile. That's my point. The pile would be obviated.
I have a system.
Okay, I'm just asking. I'm not saying you have to change it. Look, I'm not just. I'm not. Not telling you you have to like. You know, like revise how you do everything. I'm just inquiring. I'm trying to save you a step is my whole thing.
See, I go through these later in reverse order of the pile, and then I know what stories I read on Legion of News for when I make the show notes.
Right, but...
But if I just checked it off and then put it back over here, it wouldn't be in that pile, would it? It would be over here somewhere.
Well, I suppose. I quit caring about this conversation like 3 minutes ago. You are listening to Legion of News. Thank you for joining us. Coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program at rickemerson.com. And later on this afternoon, this fine program, Legion of News, will be available as an MP3 download or via iTunes. Coming up later on this hour, by the way, we have your entertainment news. That is headed your way. Brought to you by Squires Electric, 503-252-1609, 503-252-1609. By the way, I found the reading level displayed the function here in Google. So I'm wondering if they actually... So what I was thinking when you first read this story is that it somehow... It was some algorithm that somehow modified the page and it down for you. Where, like, it would find... Which, actually, when you think about it, would not be that difficult to do because it would just be... It would just be a same language version of the Babel Translate thing where it would find synonyms that were fewer syllables or fewer letters. So rather than saying, prestidigitation, you would just say guess, you know, or prediction or something. It seems like that feature can't be that far off where, you know, no one will ever have to actually learn anything because you can just go to and just turn the dial and ratchet everything down to, you know, to like a to like a 5-year-old level.
Yeah, they are doing that thing now where, kids here in the Oregon school system get to use spell checkers when they're taking their writing tests, their assessment tests. Yeah. Because they've decided that apparently, and they're actually saying this, that the ability to spell, apparently, just making typos and things, it's not really an accurate assessment of how well you can write.
Yeah. Well, in any event, you can dial Squires Electric and thank them for sponsoring this fine program, perhaps as you are having them come out to your home or to your business to check your wiring, Ethernet wiring, electrical wiring, anything that might lurk within the walls of your company or of your residence. If you're going to be remodeling or expanding, or maybe you just moved into the place or you're facing your first winter, you want to make sure that everything's going to remain working properly, or if you're just you're going to be upgrading your Internet connection, maybe you're just, you know, you've got more employees and so you want to make sure that you're going to be able to handle the load of the incoming and outgoing, bandwidth. That's stuff that they can handle, and they're going to handle it right the first time. They've been in Portland doing this for more than a decade, and we've met them. We've looked into the whites of their eyes. They're good folks, as your president would say. They're just good people.
And they have like a whole fleet of vehicles and lots of equipment.
And you go down there, and it's just like, I mean, if you've been in there, like, where there's just racks and racks of scary sort of pronged things and stuff that goes, things that make a whirring noise.
I don't know what any of that stuff is, but it's very impressive to look at.
Dials and gauges. At one point, I asked Joe Squires, I asked him what he was holding. It's a spectrometer. And then he looked at me as though challenging me to dispute, that statement. Because it's like he may have been making it up. That's the thing. I'm sure that there is a thing called a spectrometer, but I have no idea that that's what he was actually holding. It could have just been that thing that Egon uses in Ghostbusters. I have no idea.
Maybe that's what they do on the side. They get rid of ghosts.
Possibly. I mean, look. It's it's not like it's out of the question.
I would not be surprised.
They're constantly adding new services, options for their clients and their customer base because that's how much Squires Electric cares about all of you. SquiresElectric.com is their website. It is 503-252-1609. No job too small or too large. They've done everything from a single light socket to an entire building. Call them for your next wiring emergency or your next time you need your electrical system upgraded or inspected. 503-252-1609. Here is Don Taylor.
Let's do our science news.
Here's your science on the march for Thursday here at Legion of News.
Researchers are close at understanding how a bong packed with leaves of Salvia divinorum produces a high. Although shamans in Mexico have been chewing the leaves of the hardy mint relative for centuries, little is known about what the plant's psychoactive substance, salvinorin A, actually does to humans, despite its increasing popularity as a recreational drug. A new study provides some data. The hallucinogen kicks off an unusually intense and short-lasting high with no obvious ill effects, researchers report in an upcoming drug and alcohol dependence paper. When the study is small, and can't vouch for the safety of salvia. Is that how? Am I pronouncing that correctly?
I don't know. Is this the same thing? I wanted to call it sativa, but I think that might be a different thing altogether. Is this the same thing that is Jimson weed?
I don't know. I just know that I see the word on the side of the smoke shack on Barber or whatever it is, and I don't know. I didn't know what the hell it meant for a long time. I was like, what is salvia?
This is one of those stories that proves really frustrating, ultimately, because I always ask, well, what is this thing and does it really get you high? And then half the people say yes, and half the people say the other half doesn't know what they're talking about. So it doesn't even seem to be a thing that gets everybody high.
Well, apparently, though, some people it does. I mean, the study at Johns Hopkins, researchers report in Drug and Alcohol Dependence, which is a professional paper of the industry. And the study's co-author says, a lot of folks don't know what to do with this, so we're trying to study it so that it's a thing that's really uncharacterized under any formal conditions.
It doesn't seem like it could possibly have the desired effect, and the reason you know that is because it's still legal. I mean, anything that actually works, the government immediately takes off the shelves if it actually accomplishes what it's supposed to do.
Well, that's why we're reading stories about it now, so that we can be advised that it exists.
So they can get rid of it.
So they can get rid of it before we can actually try it.
All right.
The effects of salvinorin A are remarkably strong, according to the study, which recruited 4 volunteers who'd used hallucinogens such as LSD or psilocybin in the past. They inhaled various doses of highly purified salvinorin A, or a placebo, while researchers monitored their vital signs and queried them about the experiences. The effects were consistent and fast-acting, peaking about 2 minutes after inhalation and nearly disappearing by 20 minutes. As doses increased across sessions, volunteers reported stronger and stronger hallucinations, which included cartoon-like images, revisiting childhood memories, and contact with an entity.
With an entity? Were they any more? Was there any specificity given to that at any point?
The researcher said, with this drug at its peak intensity, people describe popping out and visiting a completely different world. Some people say it seems like another dimension or maybe the spirit world. They report these very profound experiences in these highly altered states of consciousness.
This is another reason I hate hippies. You know, people, here's the thing. Here's the difference between, can we all agree that there are hippie drugs and that there are drugs that are not for hippies?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that that there are not non-hippies who smoke pot, for example. Obviously, that is a drug that crosses boundaries and borders. But can we also agree that if you had to take, like, you know, pot and put it into the category of hippie drug or non-hippie drug,
mm-hmm.
it's a hippie drug.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason you know that is because nobody just does big rails of cocaine and says that they're communicating with dead relatives. You know, you just sit at home and you just clean everything with a toothbrush over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, you don't do a line of crystal meth and then say that you talk to your spirit guide.
Yeah, you know, a giant, you know, a rainbow-colored coyote appeared to me and he guided me into the afterlife. By the way, somebody's saying here that this is one of those things where they're attempting to clarify, but they've just managed to confuse it because I don't know if they're conflating two things. The comment says, sativa is a strain of pot.
Right.
And yes, comma, Dawn is saying it right.
Oh, good.
But what I think they mean is you were saying salvia, right.
Yes.
But sativa is a strain of pot. Then followed with, that's why I love this audience. I beg to differ, presumably with me saying that it doesn't work on some people. It says, it works a little too well. I felt like I was made of Legos and I was falling apart. Okay. Oh, by the way, and then he says, and your show was on at the time. I thought you were in my back room. Maybe we were, sir. Maybe we were. All right, here's Dawn Taylor.
Female red squirrels are so promiscuous that they sometimes mate with up to 14 males in a single day, new research finds. The reason, according to a study in the latest Royal Society Journal Biology Letters, is simple. Male red squirrels are willing and available. Previously, it was thought that genetics might drive female squirrels to mate like crazy on the single day each year that they go into heat. As it turns out, genes have nothing to do with it. When opportunity knocks, the not-so-picky females just don't refuse. Their behavior is overwhelmingly influenced by opportunity, said Aaron McFarlane, a researcher at the University of Guelph. I don't know where the University of Guelph
but
is.
But the queue must start really early, if it's one day a year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I mean, if it's one day a year, but they're just taking all comers. I mean, that's the thing where the line must start forming, like, before dawn.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
for Springsteen tickets.
The male squirrels are all checking their Google calendars.
Yeah.
And
you're setting two alarms.
Yeah, yeah. Packing a picnic lunch because they know they're going to be there a while. Being a sex stud can have its perks, it can also lead to potentially deadly problems. Having multiple partners means more energy expended on mating, increased exposure to predators, as well as increased potential for the spread of sexually transmitted diseases, she said.
We're still talking about squirrels, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Promiscuity also encourages harassment from male squirrels trying to coerce them into having sex. Doesn't sound like
it. Doesn't sound like there's a whole lot of... It sounds like there's a lot of, like, are you awake? If not, you know...
Wanna?
Yeah.
Yeah. Optimal mating strategies can only evolve if genetics come into play, keeping individuals in line. Even humans have evolved genes that help to control hormones and other biochemical factors involved in our sex drives. Outside of the limited heat period, female squirrels haven't yet been able to evolve the ability to say no to suitors. They also discovered that female promiscuity is not always passed down from mothers to their offspring. A female squirrel that only chose to mate with one male could have a daughter that mates with many males. The reality is that organisms cannot always be well adapted to their environment, she said. Sometimes organisms do things that detract from their survival because they aren't able to evolve a better alternative.
Hey, back on the salvia thing. So okay. Is this, you're doing this at Johns Hopkins. Is this a thing that you said that you saw this on the side of, I guess we're not supposed to call them head shops, but you know, head shops. Do they sell it here?
I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw that we have salvia.
So is it like a weed or an a leaf or something?
I don't know. They probably sell it as potpourri or something.
Because I'm wondering because it doesn't sound like it's against the law. So I'm wondering give somebody a big bag of it at the beginning of the show. And just mic them up and then just check in with them every 12 minutes or something to see what's going on.
Again, this is why we need an intern. Because I drank that Four Loko and that was it. I'm not ingesting anything for a bit ever again.
I don't even think we need an intern, really. I think that's a thing we could actually just say, like, hey, who wants to?
Oh, yeah.
It'd be like a female squirrel. You just say, like, hey, here we are and we've got the drug. Who wants some of this? And then,
line around the block.
Yeah, it would just be a question of turning people away at that point.
Yeah,
which we could have done with the Four Loko, to be honest. It's not like, here's the thing, it's not like if you offer free booze, you're really going to have to, hunt very far to find somebody to take you up on
it. It's not like we don't know people who would have been happy to sit here and drink the Four Loko.
Same guy says it's ground up leaves. So, and then immediately people are volunteering. By the way, but this is like that time that Eric Cartman went into the NAMBLA chat room and just said, I am a 7-year-old boy. And immediately the screen
filled up.
So that's what we've got. Yeah, just, And now somebody is quantifying he will volunteer only if it is only if it's not during a time that he should be studying for school.
Oh, well, that's responsible of you, sir.
Yes, but no, we're turning you away just on principle. But all right, we'll look into it. Here's Dante.
Mexican researchers said Wednesday they have identified jaw bones found in the pre-Hispanic ruins of Teotihuacan as those of wolf dogs that were apparently crossbred as a symbol of the city's warriors. The National Institute of Anthropology and History said the jaw bones were found during excavations in 2004 and are the first physical evidence of what appears to be intentional crossbreeding in ancient Mexican cultures. The jaw bones were found in a warrior's burial in the Teotihuacan Pyramid. Anthropological studies performed at Mexico's National Autonomous University indicate the animal was a wolf dog. Institute spokesman Francisco de Anda said, in oral traditions and old chronicles, dog-like animals appear with symbols of power or divinity, but we did not have skeletal evidence. This is the first time we have proof. Wolf or dog-like creatures appear in paintings in Teotihuacan, but had long been thought to be depictions of coyotes, which also inhabit the region, but archaeologists are now reevaluating the interpretation.
Teotihuacan is one of those places where it's like the name seems to have been thought up simply to screw with white people. Because you just, you know, it's like Archaeopteryx or something, you know, or Quetzalcoatl. You look at it and it's just, it seems like like the name itself is some sort of like shibboleth where it's like that, you know, that's how they figure out if you're just some gringo, you know,
they
if you can
words.
Say it or not.
They had words. They had cuneiforms of some sort. They had letters. They could write things. You'd think that they would choose shorter, easier words.
That's my thing is like when in doubt, why would you, you know.
Why would you call something Quetzalcoatl?
Why would you come up with a name that is so unbelievably complex when there's not really any.
It's not like they have a whole lot of other things that they're naming.
Yeah, it's like, I think about like the word like onomatopoetic. Why can't you just call it like ig? You know, there's nothing IG. There's nothing called an IG right now, is there? Is that a word? There's id.
Not that I know.
There's
of.
Is. There's it. There's no ig.
I don't know. I've been playing this Words with Friends on the on the thing, and
really?
I'm discovering that there's
you too.
There's an awful lot of words that I didn't know were actually words.
Is this the online Scrabble thing that's not really Scrabble for purposes of legal distinction?
Yes.
Okay, because Lara's playing that too. She's not playing with you, is she?
No, but she will be now, I think.
Is it like a three-handed or four-handed game, or,
no,
or is it like an infinite number of players?
No, you just play against one other person, but you can have multiple games going on.
She's playing with Aaron's wife, Jen, and it's like, so her phone is just like, you know, constantly, and possibly several other people, but because the phone is just dinging all the time, and then she has to like go over and.
I have these perpetual games going with both Eric Snyder and Mike Russell, and we're like just always and like you know 11:30 at night, my phone will go bing, and I'll look at her, Mike Russell just spelled, you know, lioness.
Your life is just a roller coaster, isn't it? This is so. It's a little bit like playing when I was a wee nerd, like playing chess through the mail. But it's not chess, and it's not through the mail. But it's the same thing. It's a long distance, turn by turn game.
Right.
All right. Well, that's sort of interesting. I'm not complaining.
But I find the thing though is because unlike with Scrabble, you can just put stuff down and it will tell you if it's not acceptable, and then it doesn't. You know, you're not in any trouble. You can just start over.
Oh, okay.
So you'll do these things like just line a word up underneath of a word and go, maybe some of these two-word combinations actually are something. And then you go, oh, R-I apparently is a word.
That's the thing. So you can sort of game the system a little bit by letting it select the words from the jumble that are, in fact, accurate.
Right.
If you've inadvertently formed a word like one of the thousand monkeys.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, fantastic. You know what Aaron Duran is doing? Just a side note, and then we'll get back underway. Aaron Duran, I swear to God, is playing a role-playing game with somebody via mail.
My husband did that on via email at one point. He was involved in some thing where it was all turn-based and they were doing it in email. And I was like, I have no idea why that would be
he's
fun.
He's doing a Dungeons & Dragons game, I think, via like actual mail, like writing something down and like sealing it and putting it in an envelope. And he said because back in the
times?
I was you know, back in the Cretaceous period is I think the word I was looking for, but then I kept wanting to say Quetzalcoatl, and that doesn't work. Oh, maybe it does. Have you ever seen that movie Q?
You're all over the place today. Yes, I've seen
with the Quetzalcoatl thing. Is David Carradine in that?
Probably.
All right. But I guess back in the prehistory, before there was the internet, if you were some kid in some backwater town who played D&D, you might not know anybody else who played D&D. And during the 80s especially, you didn't want to ask around about it because it was like, you know, in small towns and even in large towns, they thought, you know, they thought it was the work of the devil and you could get in trouble for it. And there was no message board or anything. And so you would subscribe, apparently, to these fantasy magazines, like if you were reading, like, Dragon Magazine or Omni or something. And then you would find these pen pal, these, like, mail-order D&D games. And it was sort of an honor system where it was you just everybody sort of assumed that you would report your rolls of the dice, honestly. And that there was a dungeon master who would lay out the scenario and you would take turns, but it was done literally through the mail. And it would take like 15 years or something to finish a game of Dungeons & Dragons, which, by the way, only slightly longer than it takes like if you're in the same room with each other. Yeah. So Aaron's doing that to replicate the experience. He wants to know what it was like.
Yeah, okay.
It's like those guys who build like a Phoenician sailor out of bamboo because they want to know exactly how it worked, you know? It's exactly like that. Here's Don Taylor.
Facebook announced on Wednesday it would launch facial recognition technology that identifies people in uploaded photos and suggests tags. The technology will be rolled out in coming weeks, with Facebook engineers claiming it will save time. Now, if you upload pictures from your cousin's wedding, we'll group together pictures of the bride and suggest her name. Read a Facebook blog post announcing the move.
That's going to lead to divorces.
Instead of typing her name 64 times, all you'll need to do is click save to tag all of your cousin's pictures at once.
To inadvertently put your mistress's name on everything.
The feature actually enhances privacy, says Facebook staff. Tagging is actually pretty important for control because every time a tag is created, it means there was a photo of you on the internet that you didn't know about. Vice President of Product Chris Cox told CNET.
Awesome.
Once you know that, you can remove the tag, or you can promote it to your friends, or you can write the person and say, I'm not that psyched about this photo. This guy's Vice President of Facebook, by the way, and he said psyched.
Uh-huh.
Those who object to automatic tagging can disable the feature if they can find it and figure out how. Identifying individuals may not prove much of a programming challenge, given that many Facebook users strike the same pose in every photo.
Seriously. By the way, speaking of photos you didn't know were on the internet, did you happen to listen to Fun Employment Radio yesterday?
No, I did not.
So apparently, I don't even have time to talk about this, but they had our friend, have we had Bill Oakley on this show?
No. Not since I've been doing it with
you. So Bill Oakley, who I guess he was on Outlook Portland, but he's been on Fun Employment a couple. We'll have to have him on something. He works just actually across the street from us. But he was the former executive producer and head writer for The Simpsons. And, he wrote the Who Shot Mr. Burns episode. Mm. Anyway, he was and he looks just like Judge Reinhold, but like a better looking version of Judge Reinhold.
He's a nice looking guy. I saw him in the stairwell when I was leaving yesterday.
Yeah. So apparently, I don't want to get the story wrong, although I almost assuredly will. I don't have to talk about the whole thing here. I'll mention the more next hour. But he somehow came across some photos of Sarah and myself on the website for a prominent Portland swingers club. So there's a bit of a long story there. But with like no explanation or context given. It's just like you go to the swingers club. I wonder what sort of people might frequent this establishment so that I might decide whether or not I should. Oh, hey, it's Rick Emerson and Sarah Dillon. Hey, Rick is in a sex swing. And I'm not making that part up, by the way.
Are you going to request that they remove your image from their
website? No, I don't want to sully my good name. I don't want to tarnish my reputation. Here is, we'll talk about that next hour, by the way, at rickemerson.com, where the Rick Emerson radio program takes the airwaves slightly after 1 p.m. This is Don Taylor.
Let's do our entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news for Thursday, December 16th.
Aretha Franklin is home from the hospital, and she's already making plans for the holidays. In a statement released Wednesday, the Queen of Soul said she's been home for... Is that really loud, that music? There we go. I felt like I was shouting.
Nah, I'm just screwing with you.
She's been home for 3 days, and her family and friends are taking great care of her. Franklin says she has a private nurse who checks on her every day. She also says she's hoping...
What are you doing over there?
I don't know. The music just seems really loud today.
Okay. I think somebody's been offering herself up as a case study for the salvia drug.
I don't know.
Really? The music is actually so low on the board, it can almost not be seen level-wise.
And it's just me. Franklin says she has a private nurse who checks on her every day. She's also hoping to see a play about Sam Cooke in her hometown of Detroit soon and to see the production of Dreamgirls before it closes this month. She had surgery for an ailment she has not yet disclosed, although we heard elsewhere that she has pancreatic cancer, so I'm sure. Doctors deemed the operation highly successful. Justin Bieber will not face charges in Canada stemming from an alleged assault at a laser tag facility. After a 12-year-old boy claimed Bieber hit him while playing there, Bieber's rep told TMZ that that was not true, it didn't happen, and the Richmond Royal Canadian Mounted Police told CNN that their investigation is complete and the evidence does not support an assault charge.
Are they really mounted police, always, like at a laser tag facility?
I think they have very tiny horses for when they're inside.
Okay.
Like ponies.
Just riding like the mini horse from... Okay, yeah.
Dylan Walsh, star of Nip Tuck, and his wife, actress Joanna Going, have filed for divorce, reports People magazine. I never did find out yesterday who it was that you said was getting divorced.
Well, it's because you were going to remind me about it, and I never did.
Was it Michael C. Hall?
Yes, it was Dexter
and
his wife.
I read
about
that later. Yeah. The Nip Tuck star, Dylan Walsh, is 47, and his wife's also 47. We're married for 6 years and have a 7-year-old daughter.
Okay.
Neva Patterson, who played Cary Grant's fiance in the 1957 classic An Affair to Remember, has died at the age of 90. Her daughter, Megan Lee, tells the Los Angeles Times that Patterson died Tuesday at her home in the Brentwood area of Los Angeles. She suffered complications from a broken hip. She was already a Broadway veteran when she was cast to play Lois for the Cary Grant movie. She originated the role of Helen Sherman in the 1958 play The 7-Year Itch. Her career in movies and television ran from the 40s through the 90s and included more than 100 appearances, including roles in the 1980s miniseries V and V the Final Battle.
Was she, what's his name's mother? Was she, my brain is on slow today. The lead character in V, he was also in Can You See What I Hear?
Mm-hmm.
And he was Mark Singer.
Singer.
He was in Beastmaster.
Yes.
I had to get by the way.
The little weasels in his backpack.
Seriously, because if I had not gotten the Beastmaster guy's name right, the audience would have come here and they would have killed me. They would have killed me and they would have killed me for my own good and they would have been right to do so. Was he Mark Singer's mother in V?
Maybe. Probably.
I realized that right as it was the Beastmaster part of that, I was doing that whole thing just so I could ask you a question that you certainly wouldn't know the answer to.
Oh.
Well, she must be, because she was the only old person in V. Everybody else was,
probably be her then.
I mean, it wasn't like Jane Badler, who, by the way, a singing sensation in her native land of Australia.
Hmm.
There you go.
What do you know?
All right. There's Don Taylor.
Also died Blake Edwards, who achieved massive success for helming the Pink Panther series starring Peter Sellers. He passed away at the age of 88. He also brought Victor Victoria, Breakfast at Tiffany's, and 10 to the screen. He was most revered for his slapstick work, however, with 1963's The Pink Panther and its sequels. He survived by his wife, Victor Victoria star Julie Andrews, and their children.
We have more to talk about in terms of Blake Edwards next hour, and I have some sound from a few of his movies that we'll get to.
I also have a big old list of the movies and things that he did, so we can talk about that more extensively then.
You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Thursday, December 16th, 2010. Coming up next hour, we have a snuff watch. Here's a little spoiler alert. It's Blake Edwards. So we'll have that, but we'll talk more extensively about his career. We've also got, I do believe, now I don't want to swear to this, we may or may not have, because you asked me before the show today if we had a pop culture authority or something for next hour, and there's this one that I've been kind of working on, but the answer has just proven very difficult to find. Sometimes you just don't expect that these things are going to be, it's going to be such a challenge to uncover the truth behind something. There's a lead that I've, I'm on to something. So I may or may not have that put together.
All right.
But next hour we will also talk to our good friend Anton from Sorrell's Vintages. He's going to be here to solve some of your holiday dilemmas as we are now, 9 days away from Christmas? 16th, 25th? Well, you're kind of, Patrick's got a brand new space in his stomach where his gallbladder used to be, so it's like he's taken care of. You know what I mean?
So his heart could grow three sizes.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You know, he's got the gift of life, Don, where he walks to the hospital and the air smells a little bit sweeter and the birds sing a little bit louder. So it's not like he really needs anything else at this point.
No.
I, on the other hand, am expecting something bright and shiny. So just saying, this we'll have to...
Are we exchanging gifts, Mr. I don't ever buy anybody presents, Mr. Rick Emerton?
No, I didn't say anything about an exchange.
Are we exchanging gifts?
No, I think that... Exchange is what you said. That's you interjected that word into the conversation. I just said expect.
Damn right I did.
I can see how they both start with E and they're the same number of syllables. But so that's all coming up next hour. That is at rickemerson.com and so forth. Speaking of Christmas, you're now again 9 days away. So you're you're within 3 days, 72 hours of the close of Christmas Mountain Trees. You can find out more about them at christmasmountaintrees.com. But here's what you need to know. They are a family farm. They've been there in business. I mean, the business has been there since 1942, so 68 years. And the family farm has been there 3.5 generations, going on 4 generations right now. They're going to be open for 3 more days. You go to christmasmountaintrees.com or you go to facebook.com/christmasmountain. You find out driving directions. You get the weather forecast, all of that. So you can go up to the farm. You can go there. You can pick a tree out from, one of thousands of trees you'll be able to see. You go through with your kids, with your family, your significant other, your whatever. You find the tree, and by the time you get back to the bottom of the mountain, the tree is there. They've taken the excess needles off. They've baled it up, and it's ready to go. They'll stick it on your automobile, everything. They got the stand there. And in front, I don't even remember what it's called now, but this sort of stand that I've never seen before where you don't have to be getting down on all fours and trying to adjust the screws while somebody's going to the left. No, it's leaning to the left, and you're trying to figure out exactly what the hell direction you're supposed to be moving the tree in. Plus, that thing I mentioned yesterday where it's an ornament, I swear to God, that then just blinks when the tree needs more water. I mean, it's astounding. You find out more by going to ChristmasMountainTrees.com or Facebook.com/ChristmasMountain. Please tell me you heard it right here at Legion of News. Here is Dawn Taylor. Are we still in entertainment news?
I have one more entertainment story. Mel Gibson's next movie finally has a release date. Distributors Summit Entertainment announced that Gibson's comic drama The Beaver will open in limited release next March 23rd and expand to more theaters on April 8th. The film's been in limbo amid his custody battle with his ex-girlfriend, who claims he physically abused her. Word, actually, and I will say this, early word on the film is actually very good. It's directed by Jodie Foster, who also co-stars in it. The people who have read the script say that the script is really, really good. The thing is, it's just that it stars Mel Gibson as a man who is very stressed out by things in his life. He goes into basically sort of a catatonic depression. And then he finds a beaver puppet in the trash and puts it on and discovers he can communicate through the beaver. And the thing is, it sounds weird and awesome, but it's also directed by Jodie Foster, who makes terrific films. And it's supposed to actually be really good, but you can understand why, what with all of his personal crazy, they might have decided to maybe shelve it for a little while.
Well, maybe he's going to turn into the Skid, though. You know what I mean? Maybe portraying a crazy guy is exactly the outlet. I mean, because really, that's just, you got to play the hand you were dealt. And so if we can really only see Mel Gibson as a crazy guy now, then perhaps playing a crazy guy, we just view it as a sort of method acting, and that way it won't be, because you won't be able to, You won't have to suspend your disbelief all that much.
Right.
I mean, let's say, because it's not like he makes bad films. I mean, he's made some bad films, but he's a talented actor and whatever. Jodie Foster, again, even the films of hers that I don't think worked, you know, all the way. Like, I didn't, like, was it Little Man Tate? That was her, right?
Yeah, and I actually loved that movie.
And see, and I didn't care for it that much because it just wasn't, I just don't think it wasn't my brand of vodka, as they say.
And didn't you say you've never seen Home for the Holidays?
Yeah, I've never seen Home for the Holidays.
You should watch that. That's one of my very favorite holiday films.
Yeah, absolutely. Cheryl's all over me to watch that, too. Like, Little Man Tate, I thought was really well made. It wasn't my type of film, but I thought it was actually really, really, really well done. Oh, God, but she made Nell, too, didn't she?
I don't think... She didn't direct that, though. She starred in that.
Okay. I remember watching Nell, and that was one of those movies where I just found myself having to stifle inappropriate laughter, like, all the time.
Yeah.
Not unlike that movie where Rosie O'Donnell plays the retarded chick who rides the bus all day.
Yeah, well, she was also in Sphere. Is Sphere the one
she
where...
She was in
Sphere.
Yeah,
Sphere's the one where it's like, oh, and God looks just like your dead father on the beach.
No, that's Contact.
Contact. She was in Contact, which
you're
was loathsome.
No, she was in Sphere, too.
Yeah.
You're confusing your Crichton and your Sagan.
Yeah, well, there you go.
All right.
I just liked both of them.
Are we done with entertainment?
We are done with entertainment.
All right. You are listening to Legion of News. We'll do a few more here. Then we will turn this program back over to Cascadia.fm, and they will be airing fine content of their own. We'll be back again tomorrow, of course, at noon. This is Don Taylor.
A Bend, Oregon man was killed in southern Oregon when a large tree was toppled by high winds and fell on his parked van as he lay in it sleeping. The Douglas County Sheriff's Office said David A. Sheldon, 57, lived in Bend but worked in Glide, Oregon, east of Roseburg, and sometimes slept in his van during the work week at various locations. Deputies said the tree crushed the rear of the van when it fell sometime Monday night or Tuesday morning in a heavily wooded former wayside off of Highway 138 East. Douglas County's dispatchers got a call around 9:30 a.m. Tuesday reporting a large tree had fallen across a van parked in the area. Emergency responders found Sheldon dead at the scene. He was alone in the 1995 Toyota van. He worked for Romtech, a Roseburg-based company that makes prefabricated portable restrooms used in campgrounds, forests, and the like. He was also founder of the Pole Pedal Paddle and was involved in the Cascade Festival
of
Music.
He was the founder of the what?
The Pole Pedal Paddle.
What is that, Don?
I have no idea. I believe that's some kind of a thing where people get in boats and paddle around in Bend.
That was my assumption, too, but I didn't really know.
He's also involved with the Cascade Festival of Music, local theatrical productions, and part of a band called the Sheldon Brothers. Friends said he loved Bend and worked tirelessly to preserve its character.
This is one of those reasons why you just can't get too upset about anything because, as somebody once said, it doesn't matter where you are. Life will eventually find you, and you'll be dealt with accordingly. Every precaution in the world not going to save you. So sometimes it's you know what it is? It's like sometimes it's like when you're playing. It's like when you're playing Uno, and you get that card that just allows you to take any card from another player. I think it's that's really where sometimes God is just playing, and it's like that card comes up, and he just goes you right there, or he gets like a Scrabble blank tile of some kind. By the way, I saw the nerdiest thing when I was in Salt Lake. I saw they have now a Star Wars Uno game, also a Star Trek Uno game.
I don't understand that at all.
Well, it's no, of course you do. I think it was that there was some money of yours that George Lucas didn't have yet, and he decided to try to create things that would get it from you.
Like Star Wars or DC Comics or something, Monopoly, I can see, because there's things that they can change to turn them into, like, Star Wars. Oh, look, I'm on Tatooine. I'm building a space hotel on Tatooine. That makes sense. Uno? How do you do Star Wars Uno?
I don't think you're understanding here, Don.
Is it like a picture of, like, three Wookiees on the three card or something?
I think you're grasping this. It says Star Wars on it.
But it doesn't make any sense.
Just write him a check. Just do it. He's never going to be happy. Look, don't make him send actual stormtroopers to your house to shake the remaining shekels out of you, because he will. All right? You are listening to Legion of News. Ooh, what's that? Oh, it's the closing music. We're going to bring to a conclusion this episode of Legion of News. Be back again tomorrow at noon. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon, where apparently the water smells like furniture or homeless people or death or something. At the news desk, it is Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff Cheryl Kennecoa. The Rick Emerson Show is next at rickemerson.com. Listen, won't you? Thank you for joining us. See you again tomorrow. Enjoy your Thursday.